I'll have to come down and be able to encourage you guys on being able to restart or relaunch a church. And they said, okay. So we ended up taking on two campuses, and now we have two campuses in that ministry. You'll see the young man up in front is Jode right over there. Everybody say, hi, Jode. Jode don't get out much, so we wanted to drag him around to Northern California. And so he wasn't real excited, but he's not excited about anything. And just so you know. Behind in the back row there is Derek. Derek is a member of our church and decided to ride with us. And so everybody say hi, Derek, back there. And so they are my, I guess they're really just checking to make sure I don't get in trouble while I'm up here, basically. Yeah. And so my wife is in the middle there. My niece, Maddie, many of you guys know Maddie, who does the missions and ministry with us. She's there, and her husband, Caleb, is on the outside. They're in Georgia today at a wedding. And so they're supposed to be, I think the wedding was yesterday, they'll be flying back today. But that's at a UNR football game while we were there. So, they all send their greetings, and I just thank you for allowing me to be up here. I had lunch with Peter on Friday. And so I was up in Chester doing some work on a building up there in Chester, met him in Susanville, got to hang out a little bit. He let me know kind of how things are going. And I told him when he goes to Hawaii to work for the disaster relief, you cannot suffer for Jesus in Hawaii. And so, but they are able to bless a group of people that are there that have had massive burnouts. And you guys know what it's like, was it 2 years ago? I'm dealing with all of the Dixie Fire and everything in Quincy and Susanville and Chester and all of our send relief trailers and equipments that went over there. And then I think 2 years or even 3 years before that was the Paradise Fire in, where did that end up being? In Magalia and Magalia Pines and, there's another one right there. Anyways, you guys know what I'm talking about. But that's what it is that God's been doing with us. I did get a chance to talk to Brian Bates. It's been a couple of months now, but I got a chance to talk with him. And as he was looking at coming out here, I'm the one that helped send the resume this way. And so, I just sent the resume. Everything else is on y'all. Okay? No. But we'll do everything we can to encourage him on his move and the ministry that's going on there. I was here just a couple months ago. Ryan had asked the association to bring up a trailer and equipment and team for the revival that was going on in September. Click. Let me see if I get my clicker back there to work. Click. Does it work? There we go. So for those of you who don't know, I'm the regional missionary. So I represent Southern Baptist churches from Truckee all the way to Klamath Falls. All of our areas in there. Each one of our little towns have, as you guys already mentioned, a ministerial alliance. You have a group of evangelical churches you already work with in your towns. But yet, we have a larger group. And I always say in Southern Baptist life, we have our immediate family and we have our extended family. And so in that, we get a chance to encourage and challenge one another. So I'm the regional missionary. I deal with about 19 20, sometimes 18, because churches don't hold still. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but they just don't hold still. And so one of the churches I'm dealing with right now is actually Trinity in Lakeview. And so we've been sending a guy up to Trinity. I'd gone up and talked with them about multi-site, about being able to partner together with another church along the way. I talked to a guy that's in Klamath Falls, Vern, that I think you guys had looked at his resume, actually. Excuse me. And so Vern's actually preaching last week and this week in Trinity. And so I said, how do we help make, those things in these little communities and little towns, keep them going and encouraged? So that's what my job is and my role is. I think I've been hanging around Alturas in Feather River Association since 2009. And then before that, I was in Shasta. So I lived in Redding, Shasta Lake City, all of those. Since 2007, I started as an area missionary. So I've been doing this director of missions things for about 16, 17 years. I don't really know how to do it yet. But if I do, find out. I'll let you know. But the majority of my job is sharing resources and materials, encouraging churches, help churches find pastors. We do camps. We do retreats. We do disaster relief. We do, just all of those kinds of things. How do we just help churches network together to be able to make a bigger impact in the world? Amen? Yeah. And so that's the biggest thing. And so, but today, I just come to encourage you guys to preach and to encourage you guys. Again, Peter is in Texas today dealing with family and all those things. And so he's on his way down. He'll come back next week and finish up his time. I already got him praying about another location. And so he's got a great ministry, and this is the part of the ministry that I love, that comes, loves on a group of people, helps deal with a few things, sets some things in order, and then helps call a pastor so the church can carry on. And so that's what it is. In fact, Paul said to Titus in Titus 1:5, the reason I left you in Crete was to set in order the things that were left undone and appoint elders in every situation. Isn't that cool? That's actually the verse in which I live and travel on. So let me go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get a chance to open up our Bibles. It's going to be a Genesis to start with. Father, I just thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for these who are here. As in word and song and deed, we give you glory and praise and honor in everything we do. So, Father, I just pray also as we examine your scriptures, we examine ourselves, that there's anything that we have thought, said, or done that has displeased you. Lord, forgive us of our sin, that nothing would hinder the Holy Spirit from speaking to us. In Jesus' name I pray. We all said? Amen. Click. All right. Thanks, Malachi. I'd be able to do this. Anybody hear this guy? Bear Grylls, right? He is so fun when his show was on. His show isn't on anymore. He's done some other things, though. But he'd be going through these caves or jumping into trees or, you know, rivers or whatever it was. And the funniest thing is when he gets in there somewhere and he stops and he finds a bug and then he eats it, you know? And then, like, his cameraman, his name was Simon, I can imagine his cameraman going, oh, did he just eat that? Oh, my gosh. And so, but the coolest thing I thought about Bear Grylls is he always stopped on his show. When he'd have it, he'd say, I'd have some of this pine needle tea. They have great vitamins. And then he would drink his tea, but he'd talk about the stars and how he knew there was a creator that put them all into place. And he would say that I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I want everybody else to know about that at some level. And he would say that on a show. Well, he was in an interview earlier this year. It was actually here in January of 2023. He's in an interview, and this is one of the things that he said about it in this interview. He said, I can't believe that it would be hard-pressed to believe that God is really pleased with 99% of the churches and what churches do and what they think church is. He said, you know, our job in life is to be close to Christ, to drop all the religious stuff, drop the fluff, even drop the church if you needed to, because church means so many different things to so many different people anyways. But to keep the part of church or relationship with God that is about community and friendships and honesty and about faith and about love. Not the performance, not the bands, not all the stuff, the smoke machines and all those things, but really talking about that relationship. That's what it is that God seeks. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Anybody hear of a guy named Enoch? Anybody hear of Enoch? What's Enoch most known for? Anybody? Walking with God. And then he was no more. Yeah. And what happened to him? He went shooting up through the clouds. He took off. God took off with God. So Enoch is only found in three passages of Scripture. And I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 5. We're also going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to look at Jude. And those are the three places in the Bible that this guy is found. And so we don't hear a lot about him, but we can surmise a few things about him. Now, you got ahead of me there. Back up on my click thing there. There you go. All right, you don't go until I say click, all right? He's going to do whatever he wants back there. Y'all know that, right? And so, love you, brother. Malachi saying, I'm going to get a hold of him. So let me share a couple of these things. When Bear Grylls says about not churchy stuff, but about my relationship with God, that's when we can understand the scripture that says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, right? And then love your neighbor as yourself. So when we come to Enoch, here's this place where we're going to talk about a guy who walked with God. Stay right there. Stay right there. He walked with God. Enoch's found in three places of Scripture. We'll talk about this. His name means dedicated or disciplined. Could you imagine your name being that? Your name is serious, real, genuine, right there. It is disciplined. It is correct. It is right. Oh my gosh. That's what your name means because of how it is that you walk with him. And by the way, the word discipline, a great way to describe the word discipline, because we always think of discipline as, right? But it's not. Discipline is correction. Judgment is, okay? Discipline is when anybody breaks their arm or a child breaks their arm and you go to the doctor. Does the doctor fix their arm? Or does the doctor sets the arm to be able to heal correctly? That's what discipline is, to set in place to heal or to grow correctly. And so discipline is to guide and direct. So when the Lord disciplines us versus judgment, right? Isn't that a big difference? And so Enoch's name is discipline. And think about Enoch. For the first 1,000 years of human history, there's only 7 generations. And Enoch was born when Adam was 640 years old. Enoch lived 290 years while Adam was still on the earth. Now, by the way, I looked for a picture of Adam and Eve. You know how long it takes you to find a picture of Adam and Eve without naked people? Huh? It takes a while to be able to find a place. And so Adam and Eve, here is Adam, and Enoch spends almost 300 years while Enoch is on earth. Enoch left the earth just 75 years after Adam did. And the rest of those, Seth and Enosh and Cain and Jared and all the rest of those family members were all still there. In fact, if you got your Bibles open to you, Genesis chapter 5. Let me just read just a couple of verses right here. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. When you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say wait a minute. There's always one. Genesis chapter 5, in all of chapter 5, it actually starts with Adam, and it talks about how long he lived, and then how long before Seth, and how long before, and it's got all those ages and generations, and then we come to verse 21, excuse me, when verse 21 says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah, and after he became the father of Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. And then he had other sons and daughters, and altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because the Lord took him away. Enoch walked with God. Now here's a great little joke for those of you who use this stuff in Sunday school, right? Methuselah is the oldest man that lived the oldest in Scripture. You all know that, right? 969 years old, right? If it's a tenth of what we do, he lived to be 96, right? And so, right? So, 969 years old, yet he died before his father. What a great limerick. Of course, his father never died. Enoch never died. Whoop! Right? He was what God, and then he was no more. Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible, 969 years old, died, yet he died before his father. Isn't that great? No, okay, anyways. Yeah. Goes much better in a youth Sunday school class. So, here he is, and so here's the things I want you guys to think about. While Enoch was on this earth, Adam was still here. And so, could you imagine the 300 years as he talked with God, but yet he was able to go back and talk with Adam, 290 years. Enoch grew up knowing the very first man that God ever created. He was able to have some kind of discussions with him potentially, right? Could you imagine the questions he'd ask? What was it like when you walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden? When he looked back and he would say, I know that God created Adam and Eve in order to walk with them in the cool of the garden in creation. God created mankind to be able to have a relationship with him. And then he'd say, well, why'd you screw that up for? You know, by the way, somebody says in one of the classes, my wife is teaching about Adam and Eve, and she said, well, you know what, if Eve hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have been in this problem. And my wife says, oh, don't worry about it, honey. I would have messed it up. I'd have got hungry. Somebody would have gotten in trouble. I'd have messed it up, okay? And so Enoch being able to ask those kind of questions. What was it like in the cool of the day? How was it before sin entered the world? What was that kind of a relationship like? By the way, what was it like when sin entered the world and separated us? What was that like? Enoch being able to ask those questions. By the way, there's only one thing that keeps us from having this kind of a relationship, and that is sin. That's it. Anything we think, say, or do that displeases God or breaks His law makes Him sad. Okay? Sorry, I do too many kids' ministry projects. But sometimes adults need to hear the simple part of that too, right? Okay, and so asking those questions, how is it that sin separated us? How did everything change from walking in the cool of the garden to Enoch being able to walk with God? And so when Enoch walked with God, we have some good give me a click. There we go. So when Enoch, desiring God is to know God in a personal way, and how Enoch would have sought after God. Now take a look at this. In Genesis chapter 5, Enoch walked with God, and he begot Methuselah in 300 years. And Enoch, the only one described as walking with God. Not only walking with God, but he walked with God for 300 years. Okay, even if life was a tenth, that's still walking with God for 30 years. A genuine walk with God. Not being a believer, not going to church, not hanging out with some stuff, but genuinely walking with God for that period of time. And so as he walked with God and then he was not, for God took him away. Twice in these four little passages he has, it says that he walked with God. Now, this is the part of the relationship that God wants us to have. Now, the reason I picked Enoch is because in the beginning, he says, this is what it's like walking with God. In Hebrews, when we get to, it's the evidence of walking with God. And the third thing is when we get to Jude, it's the judgment of those who choose not to walk with God. Man. And so, as I look at these, Enoch pleased God so much that instead of dying, he was taken to heaven. God was so happy with him. Could you imagine that? Now, in the beginning, it says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Of course, until sin entered the garden in Adam and Eve's life, separated them. God says, no more garden. You're going to be outside. There's the punishment in which you got to pay. And the rest of us have been digging up weeds and having birth and child pains and all those things ever since. Okay? Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Enoch walked with God. When is your time of the day that you walk with God? When do you mark that down? Do you mark that down on a regular basis? This comes from a series that we did called Life with God. Listening to God in an attitude of prayer. Lord, I want to hear what you say. Inquiring of God daily in His Scripture. Does everybody have a daily devotion? If you don't dig into your Bible daily, don't expect God to speak to you without Him speaking through His Word. He's going to speak to you through His Word. Inquiring of God daily. And in fact, in 2023, I challenged our congregation through the New Testament. 5 days a week in New Testament devotion. Go to a Bible study and then go to church, which makes all 7 days, right? And you are in your Bible study and study. F is fellowship or friendship group. Do you have a friendship group outside of Sunday morning? Do you have a group that you meet with at the coffee shop, talk about what God's doing in your life, digging through a passage of Scripture, meeting at somebody's home, going to a midweek Bible study? Are you involved somewhere where you're digging in and seeking God other than just going to church? If you're not, shame on you. Get there. Okay? And I'm sure there's somebody here who's doing a Bible study class that says, oh, come on over to my house. We're doing a Bible study class. Meet me at the restaurant. Meet me at the cafe. Get involved in Bible study. Start your own Bible study. And the last one, L-I-F-E, is express. Express God's activity in your life. You know what God did in my life this week? And you know what God allowed me to be a part of? when we helped out a little church Friday, I took a guy who's a retired pastor. He's just not employed or pastoring at the moment. Dennis is his name. And I took him up to Chester. We went to Chester. It's got a 10 and 12 metal roof on it. And up there, they had a stove pipe that the ice had broke off. And so it leaks. And so I got to climb up on the roof. You run up on the metal roof and then hold on to something because you'll slide right off. And then I got to sit there and I got to fix this cricket in this stove pipe so that it was no longer leaking. And they've only got about 8 or 9 members. They're trying to find a pastor. They're trying to work through partnership and all those other things. And it's one of the churches in my area. And this little couple were just so blessed. Man, you came a few months ago and fixed our porch for us. And you came and fixed this for us. We've been trying to get somebody in Chester and a construction to go up on the roof and fix that since last winter. And they can't get nobody to come out. You know why? I mean, construction. There's a lot of construction workers, but they've got jobs everywhere. And they're looking at the job going, well, I can go over here and make, $150, or I can go over there and I can work for $1,000. Well, they're not staying here for your $150. So I got a chance to go up there, and they were blessed. I said, I can't believe that you'd come up here. I drove 113 miles one way just to be able to fix a little spot on the roof. They were overjoyed that somebody would come and do that. And so that's what it is that... And then Dennis got to ride with me. He got to talk out. You ever have to get the knots out of your rope? Huh? Anybody got some knots in your rope and you just have to kind of talk through it and just unravel all that stuff and just get it straight and put it all back into perspective and get your eyes back on God and you do it. He just got a chance to go bless some people. He was blessed himself. And then, of course, we bought him lunch. We stopped with Peter and had lunch and being able to talk about ministry and service and those things. But being able to say that Enoch walked with God and he pleased him, and in the cool of the day, Adam walked with God. That my point is for you to have a time when you walk with God. Life, listening to God and listening to God in attitude of prayer, inquiring of scriptures daily, fellowshipping with or friendship group that you meet with, and then expressing God's activity in your life. Those are the things, being able to have a life group. Derek's part of my life group, and we haven't had one for 2 weeks, 2 months. We had a guy that was in our life group that went to Israel. Him and two others had gone to Israel. And while they were there, the war broke out, by the way. I know. What's really crazy is Clint is his name. And Clint goes, oh, wow, what if we went to Israel and Jesus came back? And he was almost right. I'm like, holy smokes. And so let me share with you a couple other points. You guys okay with a couple other points? All right. See if you guys are here with me. The next passage of scripture we find Enoch in is Hebrews. So if you got your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. In the great hall of faith, Enoch is listed in Hebrews chapter 11. If you've not spent any time in the great hall of faith in Hebrews, what a great place to be. And in this place, faith, by the way, Hebrews 1. 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that's what the definition when we come up with faith is at. Enoch is mentioned in verse 5, okay? And so he's the writer here, very Pauline-like, is writing about what faith looks like. And he gives examples. You can read through there, Moses and Abraham and Isaac and who else is in all of this stuff? The Hebrew people, when they walk through, he talks also about some of the other prophets, the things that we won't be able to see. But Enoch is mentioned in this. And in verse 5, Hebrews 11, verse 5, y'all there say amen. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. I'll pick that one. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Wow. Everybody knew that Enoch pleased God. Those who were there in that time knew that Enoch pleased God. And it says, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who comes to him, he must believe that he exists and rewards everyone earnestly. Let me continue to on this passage in 5. By faith, he was translated. That he should not see death, but he was found because God had translated him. And before he had translated, he had this testimony that pleased God. And the Hebrew word that it's taken from, it's a meaning that is from the extraordinary means that he did not see death. The meaning is that he didn't see death in any of those. He was a witness of God's activity in his life. Your faith, when God sees your, when others see your faith. Let me have that passage of scripture, if you would, please. Click. There you go. So in Hebrews, when people see your faith, do they see you, getting some trouble against you, getting battered at some level, having some difficulties, but in the midst of that, you said, hey, you know what? God's good. Just this morning, I was talking to Ryan. He said, man, my body and my health is, I don't know where it's at. It's all over the map, but God is good. Regardless, I have no idea. So when people see that your struggles and your difficulty and your situation, do they see your faith ooze out of you in the midst of that? I deal with it. We have about 6 licensed ministers at the church where I'm at. We've licensed those guys in the ministry. We've called them on staff. Some of them are volunteer ministers. Some of them are elder type guys, but they're all ministers. And you know what? Each one of those guys are going through stuff. Their kids or their grandkids, their health issues, the struggles they're dealing with the life that they're at. There's just issues after issues after issues. And they've all got problems. They all got issues. But you know what? They stand in front of the congregation and they say, God is good. They're faith is evidenced in their walk. Enoch walked with God. It was evidence he was no more. The people that seen him in that great hall of faith because he could walk with God and be taken. And so we see these places here. Though it is impossible to please God, without faith it is impossible to please God. That faith is our witness. Enoch's life, halfway from the time Adam was first put on this earth until the time the flood came and wiped everything out. He's halfway in the middle of that on both sides, okay? And so 987 years after creation of Adam, just walking with God 1 minute and the next minute, Enoch was gone. No death, no body, no dust, just gone. I'm translated. I'm out of here. And so I look forward to that. And God might have said, hey, you know what? One time when they're walking together, just talking about life and the righteousness and holiness and what's in store for them and how to love people and how to point them and how to see your faith grow, for God to reveal all the mysteries, as Colossians says, right? And just walking with God. And then at some point, the Lord going, you know what? We're a little closer to my house than we are to yours. Let's just keep on going. Yeah? And just keep on walking. Man. Just this last week, Derek and I had a friend that pastored another church. And 62 years old. Was it last Saturday night? Friday night. I think it was Friday night, early Saturday morning. 62 years old. Got up with chest pains. Called 911 and says, man, I got chest pains. Before they got there, he was gone. Just checked out. Pastor to church, checked out. Said, wow. So I just wonder, Lord, did he finally get to the place where he graduated? Did he finally get to that spot? Did he learn the things that he needed to learn for God to say, okay, your time here is done. So by faith, one, is that Enoch walked with God. Number 2, that his walk with God was the evidence of his faith that everyone could see. When people see you, they go, oh, there's one of them crazy Christian guys. Brother, I appreciate the shirt, man. You're just screaming in that shirt, Jesus. You know, and if nobody met you, you're going, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I'm sure that's your next verses, your next discussion. That's it. I wear Christian t-shirts all the time. I have to wear a collar because I come here on Sunday morning. But I wear Christian t-shirts all the time. A lot of motorcycle Christian t-shirts. A lot of the shirts that just say Christ, Faith Ministry, all those kinds of things, to evidence those things. And so let's get to our third point. You guys ready for our third point? All right. You ready for me to get done so you go to lunch? Oh, good. Yeah, it wasn't a big roar of that one. So just go ahead and finish the third point. Then we'll get to lunch. All right. So the third point is in Jude chapter 1, because Jude only has one chapter. Verse 14 is where we're going to go. So Enoch is found in Genesis, in Hebrews, and in Jude. Genesis says that Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. Give him evidence of everything that he had done, that his righteousness, that he pleased God and he was no more. Hebrews says that he pleased God in such a way that his faith was evidence. It is a testimony to everyone else that his faith was genuine and real in such a way that God seen not only his faith, but said, it's time. Let's just take you on to the next place. By the time we get to three, the third point, Jude chapter 1, verse 14. You know, God and Enoch had 300 years to just have discussions about creation, about the flood, about the animals, about the culture, the topography, I almost messed that word up, but just about all the things that were going on, all those years about what do you have in store for us, or when you created, how did this expanse come across? When you put Adam and Eve in the garden, how did you really want them to deal with the garden from that point on? What was the ideal mankind situation, even though Uncle Adam got thrown out, huh? Or Grandpa Adam, I don't know how that would go. Grandpa Adam, huh? Great, 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 great Grandpa Adam. Before he messed it up, how would it have been? So he spoke with Enoch, spoke with God many, many times. And look at what Jude says in Jude 14. Are you out there? Say amen. Okay. Jude 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Remember when I said there's seven generations? You figure, where do you get that from? It says right here. The seventh from Adam prophesied about men or mankind. Prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. Enoch says, thus saith the Lord. See, the Lord is coming with thousands and ten thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of ungodliness and all the ungodly of the acts that they have done in ungodly ways and have been harsh and ugly and sinners unto God for those who spoke against him. In fact, the easy-to-read version is the New Living Translation says this. See, the Lord is coming with millions of his holy ones. He will bring the people of the world before him in judgment to receive just punishment to prove the terrible things that they have done in the rebellion against him. Enoch's entire life says in the beginning that God created us to have a walking relationship that is just incomparable to anything else in all of humanity. Mankind and God can walk with God in such a way that we please God and is no more. Enoch's life exemplified having faith. It's a testimony of our faith trusting God. Faith, by the way, the church I'm at, Faith Ministry, it's faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what it is. Forsaking all, I trust him. I have faith in God. It is a testimony. It is in the great hall of faith that we can see the evidence of God's activity in my life. Wow. People look at my life and go, how do you do that? How do you keep going? I just say, well, I just keep going. In fact, Doug Crowder, one of our pastor friends, it's actually at Magalia Pines, his church was one of those that survived the fire there, and they turned it into a giant resource center. So all the water and the food and the equipment and the supplies and the firewood and the cutting of wood and all of the dig outs and everything they could. In fact, our sin relief trailer was also there. All of those things were there. He has traveled not only there, but around the world, done disaster relief. He's also provided schools in multiple different locations. They've taken teams around the world. He was a Marine back in his day. And so he's gotten a chance to be a Marine for God all over the world. And somebody goes, how do you get a chance to do all of these things? Pastor Doug just said, I just say yes. When the Lord says, I got this. Do we say, Lord, you know, it just doesn't fit in my schedule. Lord, I was thinking it would look this way and not that way. Lord, can you pick somebody else? I'm not comfortable with that. There's a lot of things we try to do. But yet when God says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where's our rest? Our rest is in him. There's no safer place than in the arms of God. Whether he takes us through the storm, whether he takes us to the pinnacle of the mountain, whether he takes us to the lower depths to deal with whatever, but there's no safer, comfortable, secure place than in the arms of the Lord. How do you get to go and do those things? My faith is evidence because I simply say yes to God. Now the Bible says, God says, this is what a relationship with him looks like. Walking with God in such a way that you can please God. That in Hebrews, that when our life is walking with God, that people can see it, and it is evidence of the faith in our life. And then the third one is with Jude, is what's known as the great apostate. Y'all familiar with that? Jude is right before the revelation. It's that all of those who claim Christ that aren't really walking with God are going to fall away before the coming of Christ. And I don't know about you guys, but COVID revealed a whole lot of that, didn't it? I just thought, wow, he just thinned out the church. Because I used to use a joke that was about, you know, in a third world country, the guy come in with a big, you know, his automatic weapon and kicked in the door of the church and said, all right, all you guys that ain't Christians, get out of here. And after a bunch of them left, he closed the doors, put his gun down and says, now let's worship. You know? But there's a difference between whose faith is evident and those who are just going through the motions are the ones that are still struggling. No better place to be. Jude says, this is what happens to all those who are caught up in the world. Who by, what's the Bible say? That they profess me with their mouth, but in their actions they deny me. Jude says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, of these things, behold, the Lord is coming with thousands and ten thousands of his angels to execute judgment. Remember judgment versus discipline? Judgment upon all and to convict all of their ungodliness. By the way, the Bible says in Romans that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How much conviction do we have on being, Lord, I'm convicted, I need to be in the right spot, versus I'm convicted by the judgment that comes down. We're not under judgment. We are under drawing. God's drawing us to himself, but not under the judgment. So when we walk with God in such a way that we please him, we walk with God in such a way that our faith is evident, the judgment is the evidence when we are evidencing Christ. That God says, I'm going to bring that judgment upon the world. That's where my heart breaks. My heart breaks because those are the ones that don't know about Christ. Oh, Lord, how do I just share Jesus with them in such a way that they would trust you? Oh, Lord, forgive them of their sins. Let them come to know you. Hey, let me show you about this Jesus. You know, you can use your fingers to do a gospel presentation. You can use the face painting or the bracelets. You can use your John 3:16. You can use, you know, the Roman road. You can use whatever. Do you use it? Do you use it? It doesn't matter. If God's at work in somebody's life, he'll use whatever. Doesn't matter. Let me ask you these last couple of questions, and then we'll go to lunch, okay? How do we know that we're seeking after God? Let me back up Malachi, two of those pictures. Boom, boom. There we go. God created this world so that we could walk with Him, so that we could have that kind of relationship with Him. We messed it up in mankind. But how do we know that we're seeking after God? When was the last time you sought God? Putting all things aside. Oh God, I need You. Lord, I need You. Man, seeking God in that kind of a relationship, that's what God is after. Not surface, not going through the motions, not, well, I was there on Sunday. No, seeking God with your whole heart. Because the Bible says, you seek Me with your whole heart, you will find Me. Seek Me and you will find Me when you seek Me with your whole heart. Psalms, just littered all over Psalms. Do you earnestly seek Him? Let me finish with this last verse, and that is in Psalm 51:9. I was just finishing up a series. In fact, Pastor Keith is finishing it up today. It's called I Need God More Than. And there's a list. You fill in the blank. I need God more than what? I need God more than some friendships. I need God more than some money. I need more God more than these relationships. I need God more than that car. I need God more than this argument. I need God more than my health. I need God more than ... Yeah, I need God more than life. I think that's what Peter said when Jesus was standing there in John 6:66. And He says, eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, or you have no part of Me. And the Bible says many of the disciples left. And He looked at Peter and said, what about you, Peter? Are you going to go? And Peter goes, dude, you're it. Where the heck am I supposed to go? You're it. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. I got nowhere else to go. I need You more than life, fishing business, people, stuff, position. I need You more than. David, King David, as we've finished Psalm 51, and I preached on this 2 weeks ago. Psalm 51. Verse 9 through 13, and I'll end with this. Hide Your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from Your presence. Do not take Your Holy Spirit away from me, but restore to me the joy of Your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for evidence of people in Scripture. Some people didn't walk good as David had such great mistakes, but his heart was to seek You. And You said, David is a man after My own heart. Thank You, Father, for evidence of Enoch. When Enoch pleased You in his walk. Father, let us please You in our walk. And if we don't know how to walk daily in a daily devotion, one chapter a day through the New Testament, daily being able to have that daily verse, being able to line our lives up with Scripture. How about just simply as the one man in Scripture, when his son had epilepsy and it cast it out, the demonic spirit, and Jesus said, well, if you have faith, your son can be healed. And he said, I have faith. Oh, help me with my faith. Father, if we need help with our faith walking with You, give us strength. Let us, Father, just to be able to dig into Your word. Let us be able to just know that You love us, You've called us Yourself, and You hate sin. And that, Father, if there's anything we've thought, said, or done that's displeased You, forgive us of our sin. That nothing would hinder the Holy Spirit from dealing with us. Father, I thank You for these that are here. As the worship team plays softly or somebody plays softly there, I just ask you with every head bowed and every eye closed to just take an inventory. When was the last time you sought God with all your heart? And Lord, if I'm not doing that, help me do that. Father, I just also ask that there's some here who are just dealing with an issue. They're dealing with a struggle. It's finances, it's family, it's kids, it's job, it's neighbors, it's my dog, it's Father, whatever it is, I need help with it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need help with that. I need help with whatever that situation is. Father, if there's anyone who just says, I still need direction. I want to be able to walk with you, but I don't know what path we're taking. I don't know where we're going. But Father, I want to walk step in step. I'm not certain how to do that. Just lift your hand to the Lord, every head bowed, every eye closed, and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Father. Just, Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me, show me. Father, there's some here that just can't simply keep saying, here I am, Lord. Whatever it is you want, here I am. Just lifting your hand to the Lord, just affirming, Lord, here I am. Whatever it is, I will walk with you. I'll serve you. I just give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these who are here. In Christ's name I pray. We all said?
Amen.
Come on, worship team.